This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Out of negligence, they are still Muslims, but they would be committing a major sin. They are still Muslims, they are not kuffar, because they believe in the obligation of paying the zakat, but they don't pay it for whatever reason. Everyone has his own reasons, and we heard about stories about people who are extremely wealthy and they don't want to pay the zakat because they believe it's a big amount of money. This 2.5% is a big amount of money because they are extremely wealthy, right? So even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them money and wealth, blessed them with wealth, but it's not a blessing anymore if we don't pay the zakat. In one of the ahadith, and we should actually share it with people, is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the person who does not pay the zakat, and the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and we should believe in the literal meaning of this hadith, that the wealth of these people who do not pay the zakat will be turned into a bald-headed snake, and it will go around the neck of this person who doesn't pay the zakat, and it will tell him, I am your wealth. The snake, the male snake, Thu'ban, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith is Sahih al-Bukhari. So this Thu'ban will be talking, this snake will be talking to this person, tell him, I am your wealth. That you did not pay zakat on in this dunya. So anyway, it is classified as a major act of negligence or major act of, it's a major sin in general. Now what is the wisdom and what are the benefits of paying this zakat? Both individuals and communities benefit and flourish, both communities, because of the concept of barakah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify the wealth of these people who pay the zakat, and their hearts are purified from greed and from selfishness. And money does not control them. They control money. They are able to reach their pocket and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, zakat means purification and growth and blessings. The word zakat. It's okay, you can leave it here. The word zakat in Arabic has this meaning, al-tahara, wal-nama, wal-baraka. And we took it from the ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. So in this ayah 103 in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed his messenger, take, O Muhammad, from their wealth a charity by which you purify them and sanctify them. So we're talking about purification here, and also sanctity. This wealth will be purified, will be sanctified, and invoke Allah's blessings upon them. Indeed, your invocations are reassurance for them. And of course, here we have to explain this ayah. A couple of people whom I met, they understood, they got the wrong message from this ayah. What do you understand from this ayah, by the way? When the ayah says, take, O Muhammad, from their wealth a charity by which you purify them and sanctify them. What do you understand from this ayah? Can you help me? This is 103 in Surah At-Tawbah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. خُذْ, take from their wealth. What do you understand from it? نعم. He must be? No, but what do you take the... Here you don't understand this meaning from this ayah. You said it must be given to the fuqara. Where is it here in this ayah?
Maybe
okay, yeah, it's an amr, it's a command from Allah, it's wajib. Because there are some brothers who got the wrong message here from this ayah. And I just want to clarify that you don't have the same confusion. Yes? That's right. No, it doesn't say Farida. Farida, that's in ayah 16, Surah Tawbah. Here it doesn't say Farida. Inna salataka sakanun lahum. It doesn't say Farida, but take, it's a command. The brother said it's a command. Take, it's an order. It's a command from Allah to the Messenger of Allah to take. Do you understand from this ayah that he is allowed to take money and put it in his pocket or spend it on himself and his family? Do you get this meaning from this ayah? No? Be honest and speak your mind. Don't worry. Just speak your mind, yes. You didn't take this, you didn't understand this. You didn't get this impression. Okay, yeah, some brothers did. He is an authority, yes. So he is here commanded as a leader to take this money and of course take care of, preserve it and give it to the fuqara. Like Brother Umar said, give it to the fuqara. I told him, Umar, Brother Umar, yani it's not mentioned here, but we know that it has to be taken from the wealthy and given to the poor and the needy. But the concept that I would like to emphasize here, that it was haram for him. Haram for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and haram for his family to benefit from zakat. It was haram. It's like, he was not recommended, it was not a recommendation for him to stay away from zakat money. No, it was haram. It was a sin for him to touch the zakat. He would find a date in the street and he say, if I know that this date is not from zakat, I would have taken it and eat it. He would go to his another story. He went to his house. He found one date on his bed. And he said, if I am sure that this is not from zakat, I would eat it. One time he went to a warehouse with his grandchild, Al-Hasan, radiallahu anhu. He was 5 years old. And they were weighing, I think, his dates and taking care of dates. So Al-Hasan, and these dates came from zakat. Al-Hasan took one date, his grandchild, put it in his mouth. And Rasulullah ﷺ came, he took it from his mouth. And he said, you should know that zakat is not permissible for Muhammad or the family of Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this should be treated as a proof that he was a true messenger of Allah. True messenger of God. He was not corrupted, he was not fake, he was not a false prophet. Otherwise, he would have said like, I deserve 10% or 20% from zakat money. That is my right. And people would have believed in him, right? Because they believed in his message. They believed that he's a prophet, he's a messenger of God. Then it would be easy for them to believe that he has right to take 10% or 20% from zakat, right? But no, it was haram for him, and he was very eager to avoid and stay away from zakat money. But the only thing he would accept from other people is a gift. He doesn't accept zakat, he doesn't accept any sadaqah, alayhi salatu wasalam. The only thing he would accept from other people if they give him a gift. Na'am. The ayah in Surah Tawbah. Because of the hadith that I mentioned. That's why small amount of knowledge is very dangerous. You don't deduct rulings and ahkam and conclusions from one ayah. Yeah. Be patient. Yeah. So if you know about one ayah, one hadith, and then you come up with a ruling or a conclusion, that's very dangerous. So you always go back to what the ulama said about the tafsir of the ayah. Right? If you are confused about the meaning of the ayah, just look at the tafsir, check the tafsir. Right? And we have, as I said, plenty of ahadith which suggests that zakat was haram for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even at times he was in need. He was wealthy at times, and he used to give money, right? Distribute money, give sadaqah, but at times he was in need and his family was in need. But it was haram for him to touch the zakat money. As I said, it is a proof that he's a true messenger of Allah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, I authored a book about this subject in Arabic, and it will be very soon for teenagers. It's being sold here in some places in Calgary in Arabic. And عنوان هذه التمرة ليست لنا. This date is not for us. And it will be very soon, inshallah, translated in English, بإذن الله تعالى. The purpose of this book, with other books, it's a series about proofs of prophethood. So we'll look at these proofs of prophethood, and then in every story, we include one proof. And these stories are written for teenagers and young people. We want them to understand the message of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now here, this hadith, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he sent him to Yemen. And he asked him, of course, to teach people tawheed. We always start with tawheed, with people who don't know about Islam. You don't talk about alcohol being haram or this haram or this halal. You talk about tawheed. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Give them more knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said, if they accept this from you, then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it an obligation upon them to perform the 5 daily prayers. If they accept this from them, then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon them the payment of charity from their wealth, which is a zakat, and it is to be taken from their wealthy and distributed among their poor. So this hadith will help us, inshallah, when we talk about the gold standard and the silver standard. Now, those who receive the zakat, how these people will benefit from the payment of zakat? Of course, they will receive money. So they will receive some help, some financial help. But beside this financial help, there are some other benefits, like their hearts will be purified from destructive jealousy, hasad. They're not looking at the wealth of the wealthy people and wishing that this wealth will be taken away from their hands, right? They don't have hasad, this destructive jealousy in their hearts, because their brothers are taking care of their needs. They're helping them. That's why we have in Canada here this organization, National Zakat Foundation, to take care of the needs of the local people. Most of the relief organizations, they send money overseas. But this is one of those organizations which take care of the needs of the local people, families who need help in Canada. And of course, their needs will be fulfilled and the Islamic Brotherhood will be empowered, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and poverty will be alleviated. So when we talk about zakat, ikhwan, we need to pay attention to four elements. These are essential elements. Number one is the intention of the payment of zakat. What does it mean? That means when you pay the zakat, the moment you pay the zakat, you have the intention, you need to have the intention that you are paying zakat, you're not giving sadaqah. You know, when we distinguish between faridha and nafila, by having the right intention, when you stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to offer your prayer, are you doing a faridha or doing a nafila? Is it an obligatory prayer or a nafila? Through the intention, you will be able to distinguish between the two, intention in the heart. Zakat also, you could be paying in a fundraising, participate in a fundraising dinner, and you pay $500, $500 fi sabilillah. Are you paying zakat, or are you giving just a regular sadaqah, a regular donation? You have, if, because you cannot turn it later on into zakat. That's the issue here. You cannot change your mind after 2 months. You say, oh, I paid $500 in that fundraising dinner, and now I have to pay zakat. I'll just use that $500 which I paid 2 months or 3 months ago, turn it into a zakat. You cannot turn it into a zakat. No, you have to, at the moment you're paying this money, giving this donation, you have to have this intention of paying the zakat. For example, one of the questions that we receive all the time, that a person would give another person, another brother or sister, they give them a loan. And then this person is supposed to return the loan within 1 year or 2 years, right? There is a limited time, for example, let's say. And then this person is struggling, the one who took the loan, and he's not able to pay back the money. He lost his job, he doesn't have money, struggling 2, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, he's not able to pay you back. At a certain point, there are some people who say, okay, I've been paying zakat every year. Maybe this brother, he's struggling, I'll just help him with this loan. I gave him 1,000 as a loan, I'll turn it into a zakat. Is that permissible? No? It is not. Because when you gave it to him on day one, it was not zakat. It was a loan. And you'll be rewarded for giving him a loan. You know that when you give a loan to someone, let's say 1,000, it will be equivalent to 50% of that amount as a sadaqah. It is as if you have paid $500 as a sadaqah. You didn't pay any sadaqah. It's a loan that will come back to you, inshallah, right? But the reward that you get for this loan is like you paid 50% of that amount as a sadaqah. So this is about loan. Anyway, but you cannot turn it into a zakat payment. The nisab, the threshold, which is the amount of wealth which makes you obligated to pay zakat. So this is something that you need to pay attention to it. This year, last Saturday, I checked the price of gold, and this nisab was around 11,000 Canadian dollars. So now my advice to my brothers who graduated, and you got a job, and you're saving money, you started saving money. When you reach this nisab, you have to watch the nisab. What is the nisab? It's the value of 85 grams of pure gold. You can check the price on the international markets. It's easy. Go to goldprice.org and you get the price on a daily basis. Get the price. On the spot, you get the price. And you know how much is the price of gold. Multiply this by 85 grams of pure gold and you get the nisab. As of last Saturday, the nisab was around 11,000. Let's say, as I said, you got a job recently and you start saving money. When you reach that nisab, which is 11,000, you are supposed to do what? Record. Write down this date. Record the date. Record it. And turn it into the Islamic Hijri calendar. I'll tell you why. Because there is a difference between the Hijri calendar and the Gregorian calendar. We'll talk about it later on when we talk about the nisab. Because the rate will be different, a little bit different, slightly different. Because there is a period of difference of 11 days between the Hijri calendar and the Gregorian calendar. So it's always good to keep it, to pay zakat based on the Islamic calendar. So you can easily turn the day. Today is February what? 14th, you go to Google, turn it into Hijri calendar, and you know. Actually, today is, we know the Islamic date is Sha'ban, 15th of Sha'ban. Everyone is familiar with this date, right? The middle of Sha'ban. Middle of Sha'ban. Oh my God. That's another story. It's okay. Al-Hawl. What is Al-Hawl? Is 1 year in the Islamic calendar. So when you receive the nisab, or your savings reach the nisab, you're not supposed to pay zakat right away. You don't pay zakat right away. You wait for 1 year. After 1 year has passed in the Islamic calendar, then you see if you have the nisab, the same amount, or it went up. You have now 20,000, so you have to pay zakat 2.5 on the total amount that you have after the passing of 1 year. And the fourth element, which is important here, is that you need to have full and complete ownership. If your ownership is not complete, then there is no obligation to pay the zakat. And I'll give you some examples later on about incomplete ownership of money or wealth. Now this is the definition of zakat. Is due on the wealth of any Muslim, young or old, male or female, that is in health, in savings for one calendar year. And of course, we said one calendar year, I'm supposed to say one calendar, 1 year in the Islamic calendar, after it has reached the nisab threshold, right? Now, there are some misconceptions. One of these misconceptions is, I'm saving money to get married. Good for you, mashallah, beautiful. But you still have to pay zakat. If it is cash that is saved in your bank account. It is cash that is saved. So there is an obligation. It is always a must to pay zakat on any cash, any type of cash that is being saved in your bank account. Right? I'm saving money to buy a house. Saving money to go for Hajj. I'm talking about these misconceptions because we get these questions all the time. People, they think that maybe they have a rukhsa, concession not to pay zakat, because they are saving money for Hajj, or they say saving money, and money is more than the nisab, and it stayed with you for more than one year, that's it. You have the obligation to pay zakat. Some of them, they said, I don't have a job, but I have savings in the bank. Some of them, they might have like 100,000, 200,000 in the bank. But he said, I don't have a job. You still have to pay zakat, because it's more than the nisab. The nisab is 11,000 and you have 200,000 in your bank account. I know that you don't have a job, you're looking for a job, you lost your job, but you still have the obligation to pay the zakat because you have, mashallah, more than the nisab. And the ikhwan, I'll tell you something. When it comes to zakat, ignore the 2.5 and think about 97.5%. What is 97.5%? What is 97.5%? The remaining. The remaining. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing to keep in your hand 97.5%. Is not commanding you to pay 10% or 12%. There are some members of other sects, yani they are Sunni, they are not Sunnis. They belong to different groups, right? Some Shia groups. They have to pay 12% or 10% from every check they receive. Of course, this is not Sharia compliant. The Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 2.5 every year. Not every month, not every week, every year, once a year, 2.5. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing you to keep 97.5%. But still, yet people are struggling with this, and nas'al Allah salama wa al-afiyah. Do I exclude the value of the nisab? The nisab is 11,000, but now I have 20,000. Do I pay zakat on 20,000, or I pay zakat only on 9,000 because I'm deducting the nisab? The nisab is 11,000, so I'll keep this nisab to the side. I'll just pay zakat on 9,000. Is that true? Naam? So you pay on the whole amount. This is one of the misconceptions. I don't have to pay zakat on the amount which I already paid on it last year. Another misconception, another source of confusion. I paid zakat on this 20,000. Now my savings, mashallah, have increased and I have 30,000. So I have 30,000 now. Last year I had 20,000. I paid zakat on this 20,000. Do I have to pay zakat on the whole amount of 30,000, which includes the 20,000 that I have paid zakat on it last year, or I pay zakat only on 10,000, the extra saving which I was able to accumulate or receive this year? What is your opinion? Pay on the whole 30,000 or only 10,000? Don't be shy. Speak your mind. Huh? The whole amount, yes, that's the right answer. You pay zakat on the whole amount. So, and then this 30,000 will be included in 40,000 next year. You'll have 40,000, inshallah, will be increasing all the time. May Allah bless your wealth. And you pay on the whole amount again, 40,000. Again, it's only 2.5%. I cannot pay zakat to any family member. This is not true. The people who don't, you are not allowed to give them zakat, are your parents and grandparents, of course, included, and also your children and your wife, if you are a male. But a woman is allowed to give zakat to her husband if he's struggling, even though she might benefit from this payment, but she is allowed to give him zakat if he's struggling, if she's wealthy. She's wealthy and he's struggling, doesn't have a job, doesn't have money, she's allowed to give him a zakat to make him happy, right? To win his heart. This is halal. But we can pay zakat to parents and children in one case. Just one case. If they're struggling with debt. So you don't give them zakat for their daily expenses or monthly expenses, food and shelter and clothes and basic needs, to cover their basic needs. But let's say your father is struggling with an amount of debt. He was not able to pay it back. He got a debt, took a loan from someone, and he was not able to pay it back. In this case only, you are allowed to give zakat to your father or mother to pay their deen, to pay their debt, not to benefit from it. No. Other family members, you can give them zakat without any restrictions. Sisters and brothers and uncles and cousins, you can give them zakat. Someone raised his hand here. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about it now. This is our subject. Just be patient. Be patient. Okay, so talk about gold or silver nisab. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the gold nisab was 20 dinars. 20 dinars. And these dinars were made of gold. And every dinar, the weight of every dinar was 4.25 grams of pure gold. So you multiply 20 by 4.25, the total would be 85 grams of pure gold. That is the gold nisab. The silver nisab was 200 dirhams at the time of Rasulullah SAW. And they were the same, they're equivalent. There was no difference between gold and silver nisab at the time of Rasulullah SAW. And each gram or each dirham, the weight of each dirham was 2.975 grams of pure silver. So 200 multiplied by 2.975, the total will be 595 grams of pure silver, right? At the time of Rasulullah SAW, they were the same. There was no problem at all. In our times, there is a huge difference between the nisab of gold and the nisab of silver. So now the value of 85 grams of pure gold in 2023, March, it was 6,900. In March 2024, it was 7,700. This year, the price of gold went up, is around 11,000. So you can ignore the 180 after 11,000, and you can say that 11,000 is the nisab these days. And that was last Saturday, February 8th. I don't know today, but the difference must be very small. If there is a small difference, did you check today?
It's
102, the price? That's a big difference, ya Sheikh, because last week was 130, Canadian. You're talking about US. Yeah, you're talking about US. Last week it was 130 Canadian, 131. It's right there, right? 131, so that's the same, still the same. Nisab is 11,000. So which means if you don't have 11,000 in your bank account, don't worry about zakat. That is the message, right? That, because we follow my advice and my fatwa that I give to people and the fatwa of other ulama who are better than me, is to follow the nisab of gold. Even though here this guide will tell you, National Zakat Foundation prefer that people will follow the nisab of silver. And they have a reason. Those who said we should follow the nisab of silver, their reason is many people, more people will pay zakat. More people will pay zakat. But the reason I'm saying we shouldn't worry about that, and we should worry about the nisab of gold, why? Look at the nisab of silver. Are you looking at the numbers? In 2024, it was 601, 600. In 2025, this year, it was last week, it was 869. Right? 869 Canadian dollars. So you cannot call, that's the argument. You cannot call someone who has, let's say, 1,000 in his bank account. Based on the nisab of silver, he has more than the nisab. You cannot call them wealthy people. Can you call someone who has 1,000 Canadian dollars in his bank account someone who is wealthy? You can't. And the hadith which I mentioned, hadith Mu'adh ibn Jabal, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ عَلَىٰ فُقَرَائِهِمْ. It is to be taken from their wealthy and be given to the poor and the needy in their community. Right? So if someone has 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 in his account, you cannot call him rich. He's not rich. He might need help if his rent, if he's renting a full house, and the rent these days is 2,500, 3,000, he might need help. He might go to one of the organizations in town and say, I need help, you know, to make the complete the payment of my rent. So anyway, this is the argument, and this is also the search or the choice or the fatwa of the Islamic Research Council affiliated with Al-Azhar University. They said because the gold is more stable, that is their argument, more stable. And the hadith, because of the hadith which I mentioned. And by the way, subhanAllah, we made a comparison in the last 10 years, Hullah. We used to look at the compare between the price of sheep in Canada and between the price of gold. At the time of Rasulullah, if you have more than 40 sheep, then you are supposed to give one sheep as a zakat, right? 40 sheep. We looked at the price of sheep at the time of Rasulullah, it was even half a dinar or 1 dinar. And you look at the price of gold, 130 multiplied by 4.25, that's more than 400, right? 130, close to 500. Subhanallah, we looked at the price of sheep where we used to buy them for 160, 150, now $500. It's the same. The amount of 40 sheep is the same like the amount of nisab in gold, 85 grams of pure gold. They are the same. We are in Canada. And that was the same thing at the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But here with silver, no. You get two sheep. With the nisab of silver, you get two sheep, maybe. You are lucky if you get two sheep, right? But you are supposed to have 40 sheep to have the nisab of ghanam, you know, the nisab of sheep, of animals, this cattle. So it is in line with other types of wealth. The nisab of gold is in line with the nisab of other types of wealth. So the nisab of silver does not make sense anymore these days, does not make sense. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now here I mentioned two numbers when it comes to the nisab of gold, 85 grams or 87.48 or 595 grams or 612.36. The reason I mentioned this, the other two numbers, I'm sure that you're going to find them, come across them on the internet if you're making research. My advice, ignore these numbers. Most of the ulama, they work with the other numbers. They adopted, majority of Muslim scholars adopted the other numbers, which I mentioned, 85 grams of pure gold for gold, and 595 grams for silver. The other numbers, it's a different opinion, it's a second opinion, But it's not adopted by the majority of Muslim scholars. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Is that clear? This mas'ala is clear, ikhwan? Now, before you pay to zakat, you need to pay attention to something called loan. You pay attention to the loans and the debts. Now, loans is a loan that you gave to someone. Gave him a loan, right? Could be good, could be bad. What is the difference between good and bad? A good loan is a loan that you gave to someone who is doing fine, he's not struggling, and he's not denying the loan. So you are confident, this is very important, you are confident that you're going to receive your money back. This is a good loan. So you need to include it in your calculation and pay zakat on it. We'll come to the calculation, how do we calculate zakat. So you need to include it because it's a good loan. It was your decision to give this person a loan fi sabilillah. It's like money being saved for you in a bank account. You're confident that this money will come back to you. Gave it to your brother, to your mother, to your father, to a neighbor you trust. He's a good Muslim, trust, he's doing well, doing fine. Made an agreement, come back to you within 1 year, 2 years. So you need to include this good loan, the amount of this good loan in your calculation. A bad loan is a loan that you gave it to someone else, and this person could be struggling, he's not able to pay you back, 4 years, 5 years, every year he said, I'm not able to pay you back, I'm sorry, can you give me another year? Or he's denying the loan. He said, I didn't take anything from you, you didn't give me anything. Denying the loan. Then this, at a certain point, you are allowed to classify it as a bad loan and you stop paying zakat on it. You don't include it in your calculation. The short-term and long-term debts is a debt that it's your liability. It's your liability. You have to pay to someone else, right? It's a liability on you. So if it is short term, you are allowed to exclude it. Short term, anything that is supposed to be paid within the next 12 months. Within the next 12 months, you are supposed to pay this short term debt. If it is more than 1 year, then you can ignore it and you don't. You are supposed to ignore it and you don't exclude it from your calculation or zakat money. You don't exclude it. But if it is short term, let's say within the next 2 months or 3 months, you have the obligation to pay someone else a debt, 5,000, and you pay zakat in this Ramadan, you are allowed to exclude this 5,000 from your money and don't pay zakat on it. Is that clear? I need to make sure that everything is clear before I move to the next slide. Tafadhal, Sheikh.
Last time someone was asking if the rent is considered as long and short-term debt.
So for the whole year, no. But for مثلا, for the same month, if مثلا, you're staying in that month and you know that for sure you'll be paying this rent, the rent of that month, yes, you are allowed to exclude it. Let's say your rent is 2,000, 3,000. You're paying zakat in the middle of the month. But you know for sure that you'll be paying this rent, which is 2,000, 3,000. You are allowed to exclude it. But for the whole year, no. Because you don't know what will happen next month, what will happen within 2 months. You might leave the house and something else will happen. Yes.
Two types of loans.
Yeah, student loans.
The provincial
one. Okay.
And for the provincial one, you have like a 12-month grace period until it starts collecting.
And federal?
And the federal one, like, it doesn't collect interest at all. So, with federal, is considered long term? Because.
Yeah, if it is a long term. Anything that is you're planning to pay it after 1 year, it's a long term. Anything you're planning to pay it within the period of 1 year, then it's short term and you are allowed to exclude it. Is that clear? 1 year, more, less than 1 year, more than 1 year. Very simple. Short term, long term. So do not turn bad loans into a zakat payment. I explained this, right? Now, foreign employee, not. Let's start with employees and then we talk about business people, people who have a business. Now, if you are an employee, most likely you have cash in your bank account. You might have stock in the stock market. You're investing in the stock market. You have shares in the stock market. And you have good loans. Good loans, a loan that you gave to someone, but you are extremely confident that this money will come back to you. So cash plus value of your stock for value, the whole value of your stock, if you are a speculator. Who are speculators? Those who trade. They are active traders. Active traders. Who are the active traders? They buy and sell within the period of 1 year. They do a lot of buying and selling within the period of 1 year, right? So these are short-term traders or active traders, short-term traders or active traders or speculators. Long-term traders, they have another formula. I'll show you this formula. Now, when it comes to stocks, so cash plus value of your stocks plus your good loans, the amount of your good loans, minus short-term debts. Short-term debts, the debts that you are, debts, that any amount of money that you are supposed to pay back within the period of 1 year or less than 1 year, you are allowed to deduct it, minus. Then you get the total value of your zakatable money. And you pay 2.5 if you follow the Islamic calendar. That's why it is important. If you want to keep it 2.5, keep it simple, you follow the Islamic calendar. If you decide to follow the Gregorian calendar for whatever reason, because there are some people who said, oh, I do my taxes in December and I need to calculate my money and see. I don't know, they have their own reasons, right? You pay 2.577%, if you follow the Gregorian calendar. But the Islamic calendar is very simple, 2.5. Now, zakat on stocks, if you are a long-term trader, you have long-term investments, you need to determine, so you don't have to pay zakat on the total value of your stocks, if you are long-term. That means you bought some shares and you're leaving them in the company for 3 years, 4 years, just collecting dividends. Then you don't have to pay zakat on the total value of your shares. So you pay attention to this formula here. You need to determine what is called zakatable asset ratio. So how do you determine that? You need to look at the financial statement of this company that you bought its shares. And then you look at something called current assets in the financial statement. Minus interest income, because interest income should be one of the current assets. You minus the interest income, divided by the market cap. What is the market cap? Is the value of this company in the market. How do they define this market cap? They look at the price of how many shares, the total number of shares that this company has in the market. Let's say 1 million shares, and every share costs around $10. You multiply $10 by 1 million. That's 10 millions, right? 10 millions. That is the market cap of this company. So you look at the current assets of the company itself, minus interest income. You divide it by the market cap, you get what is called zakatable asset ratio. So let's say the current assets, you look at the financial statement, and you can get this financial statement from the website. These are public documents. When a company is publicly registered, then these documents have to be publicly shared. You look at these documents, you get methane and the current assets, they are 15 million. And the market cap is 90 million, 90. Multiply 15 by 90, you get this ratio, 0.1666 or 16.66 percent. Now, what do you need to do? You look at the value of your holdings. let's say it's 12,000 here. You multiply the value of your holdings by this ratio, you get this zakatable portion, 2,000. So you pay zakat only on 2,000. You don't pay zakat on 12,000. Is it a big difference? It's a big difference. Because zakat on 10,000 is 250. You're saving 250 here. You're paying zakat only $50 here. Well, each 1,000, you pay zakat $25 on each 1,000. You're paying only 250 instead of $300. You're paying only $50 instead of $300. Now, what's the reasoning behind it? When we say current assets, there is something else they call fixed asset. As a basic principle in zakat, we don't pay zakat on anything that is called fixed asset. But it has to be real fixed asset, because there are people who they buy something and their intention is to sell it again, then this is not a fixed asset, it's a current asset. But it is registered as a fixed asset to save, to avoid some taxes. You cannot do that with zakat. If you have a plan to sell it back in the market, it's a current asset, and it is something that you own, and you have to pay zakat on it. It's like any merchandise. What are the other fixed assets? Let's say I have a company. This is a factory. Do I pay zakat on the building? This is a building, and I have a factory in this building. Do I pay zakat on the building? I don't. I have 20 vans or 30 vans working for the business. They're doing delivery vans, delivery cars. So I'm using them in the operation of the business. Do I have to pay zakat on them? On the value of this, I don't. I don't pay zakat on them. Let's say in this factory, I have tools that are very expensive. Tools, equipments. They are worth like 300,000 or 500,000 tools that are very expensive. Do I have to pay zakat on them? I don't. Because they are being used in the business. They are not for sale. I didn't buy them to trade them, to sell them again in the market and get some profit. So are you able to distinguish between what is fixed asset based on the principles of zakat and current asset? But again, even if it is registered as a fixed asset in your financial statement, but your intention is to sell it again in the market, then you pay zakat on it, even if you call it fixed asset in your records. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But this formula is clear, ya akhwan? Is it clear? Okay. Sisters, you don't have a question? You're fine? Okay, other investments. Here in this slide, I'm saying zakat is due on the total value of your investment in the following cases. Cryptocurrencies, for example, you pay zakat on them. If you are investing in bitcoins, you pay zakat on bitcoin because bitcoin is treated as a currency now. Other cryptos are different. They could be like a technology, we might treat them like shares. But to be in the safe side, because usually cryptocurrency traders, they are active traders. Most of those who trade, trade cryptocurrencies, they are active traders, right? So even if you're not sure about which type of crypto you're dealing with, is it a currency or a technology? Just look at the value, their value in the stock market, in the market, and they pay zakat on them. Now, if someone is investing in bonds, it's haram, by the way, to invest in bonds. Bonds, they are interest-based securities. Yani. So people do them to collect interest, use them. And invest in them to collect interest. But if someone, a Muslim, has bonds, is holding bonds in his portfolio, then he has to pay zakat on the original price. Whatever interest you receive as a Muslim, you are supposed to get rid of it. You give it to someone else. It's not sadaqah, but you will be rewarded for the desire, for having the desire to purify your wealth. It's a normal donation. to get rid of interest income, right? Mutual funds, I'm a little bit confused about them because it's very difficult to know how to, you know, there are some people who said, ijtihadat, yani different opinions, but they don't have a solid proof. They said you pay 30%. You might find this opinion here, pay 30% or 25% on the mutual funds. There are some ulama, they said, most of the managers of these funds are active managers, basically, so they could be actively investing or trading on your behalf. So you should pay on the total value of your investment, wallahu ta'ala alam. And this is a safer side, wallahu ta'ala alam. I'm still looking for good answers and do more research about mutual funds and other funds, but this is my position for now. Employees with pension plans. When it comes to pension plans, Ikhwan, RSP or any pension plan, the formula is very simple. You need to look, you need to define, is your pension plan locked in? Locked in. Is it locked in? You are not allowed, you have no access to it until you reach the age of retirement, 65, and then they allow you to use your money. Or you have access. Access, no access. If you have access to it, then you have the obligation to pay zakat to an RRSP. But how do you treat RRSP? If you go to the bank and you try to withdraw your money, they will not give you the whole amount. They will give you most likely 80% of your money. 20% will be immediately taken away from your wealth or your money, from your funds. These are taxes for CRA. So if you have, let's say, 100,000 in your bank, in your RSP account, you don't pay zakat on the whole amount, you pay zakat on 80% on what is left in your hand. If you go and you try to withdraw the whole amount, what is left in your hand is your money. The other money, you have no complete, your ownership is not complete. You remember we talked about the fourth element, full and complete ownership? Now your money, your ownership is not complete on 20% because this money belongs to the government. So you don't pay zakat on the money that belongs to the government. Do you agree with me? Right? It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to them. So you don't pay zakat on it. You pay zakat on your own money. Is that clear, Ikhwan? If you have no access, then you don't worry about zakat. RESP, these are accounts for children, registered education saving plan. Now, here they gave you two opinions. They started with the opinion of the Hanafi school of thought, who pays the zakat, right? So here you'll find adult, Muslim, and of sound mind, right? They started with the Hanafi school of thought, but they give you the other opinions here, with the majority, Shafi'i, Hanbali, and Malik. The fatwa that we follow is a majority, not the Hanafi. So that means if the person is a child, but he's wealthy, he still have to pay zakat. He could be wealthy, and he's 8 years old, and his father died, and he left $1 million for him in his bank account. He's wealthy. So az-zakatu haqqun fil mal. Who will pay zakat on his behalf? His guardian, his father, his mother, his guardian, his uncle, his grandfather. His guardian will pay zakat on his behalf. So now we have RESP account. It belongs to your children. As a father, you're depositing money in it. And the government is matching or giving you some money in the RESP account. Now, if you want to pay zakat on behalf of your child, you have to look how much your contribution has reached. Your contribution as a father. Forget about the money coming from the government, because again, the ownership of your child on the money coming from the government is not complete. Why is not complete? Because if you decide to close this account, the government will take this money away again. They will not leave it for you. So the ownership is not complete. When is your child able to benefit from this money? When he grows up, he goes to university, he's 18 or 19, and then he will start benefiting from this money. At that moment, it is his responsibility to pay zakat. Now, if your contribution as a father has reached 11,000, which is a nisab, then you look at your contribution, has reached a nisab, it has to stay 1 year, and you pay zakat on behalf of your child. Do you have a question? Yes. They don't usually match, but they give you some donations, yeah. Yeah. Oh, the child. Talking about the child.
Yeah. No.
This money belongs to the child.
So the
RESP. Yeah, so if the child has 5,000 at home,
yeah,
let's say, and he has 6,000 in his RESP account, now he has the nisab.
Okay.
Yeah, now he has, his father has to pay zakat on his behalf, because even though he has only 6,000 in the bank account as a contribution which came from his parents, 5,000 at home or in a different account, now because he has 11,000 after stayed with him for 1 year, he has to pay zakat. It doesn't belong to the parent. No. It should be added to the wealth of the child. Use the same formula, but you should add the value of inventory. So if you are a business owner, you know the previous formula, we said cash plus what? Stocks. If you are trading stocks, plus good loans, plus minus short-term debts. Now, if you are a business person, let's say, even if you don't have a place, if you don't have a shop, let's say there are people who buy cars from the auction, they park them in front of the house, three cars, four cars, that they are for the purpose of what? Kept for the purpose of trading, buying and selling cars. So it's a merchandise, then you need to look at the value of these cars and pay zakat on them. You don't pay zakat on your personal items, anything for personal use, your own car, your own house, anything that belongs to you as a person but is for personal use, then you don't pay zakat on it. Pay zakat, anything that is for sale, but for sale is not a good term all the time. That is meant strictly for trading. Because for sale, you might buy something for your own personal use, and then after 2 years, you decide to sell it. Are you going to pay zakat on it? You don't. Until you sell it, it's cash, put it in your pocket until you add it to your savings, and you pay zakat on it. But it's for sale at a certain moment, you decided to sell it. There's no zakat on it. If you're not able to say it within 1 month, and Ramadan is here and you pay zakat in Ramadan, are you going to include it because it is for sale? For sale, but it was not meant for trading from day one, right? So it's better to say that it's strictly meant for trading. No zakat on the value of fixed assets. We talked about that, buildings, equipment, furniture, vehicles used in the business operation. The value of raw material is included, of course, because you're going to use it to make some products. This raw material will be used to make the final product. So if you have a huge amount of raw material that will cost, like the value of this raw material, 50,000, include it in your zakat. And use the market price to calculate the value of your business merchandise. Now, zakat on jewelry. No zakat on any halal jewelry if it is for personal use. And this is the opinion of the majority of Muslim scholars. If you follow the Hanafi madhab, maybe here in this guide they prefer the Hanafi madhab regarding this mas'ala. If you follow the Hanafi madhab says that it is an obligation upon any woman who owns jewelry for personal use, it is an obligation upon her to pay zakat. She needs to know the value of this jewelry, pay zakat. But for the majority of Muslim scholars, Maliki madhab, Hanbali madhab, Shafi'i madhab, and all the other scholars, they said no, there is no obligation on zakat if the jewelry is kept for personal use. Now, if the jewelry is saved as a store of value, there are some women who keep this jewelry in a box, and they keep this box in the bank, right? And it is a store of value. It said, I need it in the future. I might sell this jewelry and buy a house. Or it is not meant for personal use. Definitely she has to pay zakat on the value of the jewelry. If it is owned by a male, you are a man, you're not supposed to use necklaces made of gold or, you know, rings made of gold. So you pay zakat on this gold that you own as a male. If it is intended for trade, business, you are a businessman, you buy and sell gold, then definitely you need to pay zakat on this gold. If it is used as a decoration in your house, pay zakat on it. If it is, if you have utensils made of gold and silver, let's say plates and forks and spoons made of gold and silver, this is possible. There are some families, they are extremely wealthy and they have this kind of stuff at home. Then there is a scholarly consensus that we need to pay zakat on these items. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Now when it comes to, let's say a woman doesn't have 24 carats. I don't know if 24 carats is found in the market or not. Because to the best of my knowledge, it does not exist. It is? 24 carats? Okay. In some countries, they say 24. Okay. 24 carat. طيب, let's say a woman has 18 here. I have an example. She has 18 carats. But when we say 85, let's say this woman, she needs to pay zakat on her jewelry, or it is a man who owns gold or jewelry, and he needs to pay zakat on it. Now, we say 85 grams of pure gold, but it has to be 24 carats. Now she has 18. And she has 1,000 grams of 18 carats of gold jewelry. 1,000. So how much, how many grams are subject to zakat payment? How many grams? They're not 1,000 because they are 18. So she needs to multiply 1,000 by 18 divided by 24. She will get 750 grams of pure gold. It's like, so 1,000 grams of gold of 18 carats are equivalent to 750 grams of pure gold. So the payment will be on 750 grams of pure gold. Now, the price of this gold in the international market, if she goes to Google, if she Googles the price, will be $80. Is she supposed to use this price or the depreciated price? Or the discounted price? What is the discounted price? If this person goes to the jewelry store and tell them, I have gold and I want to sell it to you. Businessman or the keeper, the storekeeper, will not give them the price of $80. Pay them based on the discounted price, which could be 70 or 60. That means if she sells this gold, she will not receive this price of $80, which is in the international markets. She will receive less, and that is the total value of her wealth, right? So she needs to use this 70. Now we said 1,000 by 70, if she uses 70, not 80, it will be 70,000, but she's not supposed to pay on 1,000 grams. The payment on 750. So 750 multiplied by 70, that will be the value of her zakatable money, 52,500. And if she takes away the weight of the gemstones or stones, and let's say she has a ring and it has a stone, there is no zakat on the stone, on these precious stones. So she is allowed to take the weight of this stone and not to pay zakat on it. It will be less than 750 grams. It could be 700 grams, right? So the total of her zakat money will be less. So there is no zakat on gemstones and diamonds, precious metals other than gold and silver. You tell me why? I don't know the reason, the hikmah behind it. To be honest with you, I don't know the hikmah. But I know one thing. The ulama are not allowed to prescribe zakat payment on any type of wealth unless this type of wealth is mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran talks about gold and silver. When it comes to other precious metals, the Quran and the Sunnah did not say anything about them and did not mention anything about gemstones and diamonds. And usually, they are, if they are for personal, you know, you keep them as personal items, they're not very common, right? But if they are a merchandise, if they are a merchandise, which means that the person is selling and buying and selling them, then of course he has to pay zakat on their value. If they come bida'a, tijara, merchandise, then of course he has to pay zakat on them. So basically the weight of gold or silver minus the total weight of non-metals and stones, total value of your gold or silver that is subject to zakat payment. Very simple, Yahwan. Now lands and properties. There is one basic principle on zakat when it comes to lands and real estate properties. There is no zakat on any piece of land or any property, no zakat on the value unless it is strictly intended for trade. Someone is a real estate agent or he's a businessman in the real estate market, buys and sells houses and buildings and lands. So this guy has to pay zakat on the value of these buildings and these properties. Now, if it is a rental property, you don't pay zakat on the value of the property, you pay zakat on the rental income. If I don't know, I bought this building or this house, but I don't know what to do with it, there is no zakat. If you say, I don't know what to do with it, because it is not strictly meant for trading. If you change your mind, you buy it for the sake of giving it to your children. I want my son gets married, I want him to live in this house. Then in this case, yes. You don't have to pay zakat on it. But if you change your mind, you don't have to pay zakat right away until you sell it, receive the cash. Cash is added to your savings, and you pay zakat on it at the end of the year. So even if you change your mind and you put it for sale, you don't have to pay zakat on the value of this house because it was not meant for trading in the beginning. Now, who receives the zakat? Poor people, those in need, employed to collect and distribute the zakat, those inclined towards accepting Islam, captives and slaves, those in debt, in the way of Allah, the stranded traveler. So, al-fuqara, al-masakeen, al-amilin alayha, المؤلفة قلوبهم في الرقاب الغارمون في سبيل الله وابن السبيل هذه الأنواع. These are types of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in one ayah, ayah 60 in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these people. What is the difference between fuqara and masakeen? We translate usually fuqara as poor people, masakeen those in need. So fuqara, usually, they don't have an income at all. They don't have an income. Or their income is less than 50% of what they need for the whole year. Can I get some water, please? So their income is less, let's say a family needs 40,000 for the whole year. 40,000. Their income is less than 20,000. So these are fuqara. Masakin, they are little bit, their situation is better than the situation of the fuqara. Let's say they need 40,000 for the whole year, their income is 30,000. It's better than the fuqara, but they still need some help. They are masakin. Both of them deserve to receive zakat. Employed to collect or distribute zakat, in the old days, they were employed by the Muslim government, right, to collect zakat. Their salary would come from the zakat money, their salary. Even if they are good, they are fine, they are not fuqara, doing well, but they still have to receive their salary. The salary will come from zakat money, because they are the ones who are collecting zakat, and they are the ones who are distributing this zakat. That is full-time a job, and they need to be paid for this job. Nowadays, some Islamic organizations pay those who are employed from zakat money, but it is always highly recommended to pay them from regular donations or other sources of income other than zakat, wallahu ta'ala alam, because they were not employed by the government. This is some sort of disagreement between some Muslim scholars. Now, those inclined towards accepting Islam, even if they are rich and you give them a gift from zakat money, that's okay. There are some ulama who said those who are included here, inclined towards accepting Islam, it should be given only to those who are leaders or they have an influence of other people, over other people. So if you give them zakat, they become Muslims, they will influence other people and other people will accept Islam because of them, Allahu ta'ala alam. But there are some other scholars who believe anyone who is inclined towards accepting Islam, we should give him zakat. If we have enough money, enough zakat, we can give them zakat to encourage them to accept Islam. And it's not a bribe, by the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed this ruling for us to encourage other people, because we are saving them from hellfire if they become Muslims, right? Whether you call it a bribe or you don't call it a bribe, you are saving a soul from hellfire when they accept Islam by using this zakat money. Captives and slaves. So in the old days, those slaves who need help to pay, like the mathalan, he makes an agreement with his master, say, I'll pay you, you bought me for 10,000, I'll pay you your money back and give me my freedom. So these people, Islam used to encourage Muslims to give them money from zakat so they become free sooner than later, right? So zakat money was used to help these people to gain their freedom. This is how Islam encouraged Muslims to help those who were not free to gain their freedom. Because when Islam came, it was widespread. Yani slavery was a common place, was practiced, and it was very common at that time. And Islam was encouraging, as I said, Muslims to, and there are many ways, this is one way. Those in debt, and of course it has to be a debt in a halal way. If someone took a loan to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't give him zakat to pay his loan back. No, it has to be halal. Or there are, in the old days, when there is a problem, when there was a problem between two tribes, they were fighting with each other, some leaders in some tribes, in some communities, would come to these tribes and say, okay, you're fighting about money, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you on behalf of the other tribe, and then you make peace agreement. So this person is spending money from his pocket to make peace in the community. So they said these people should be helped, should be given money from zakat for doing this beautiful work, keeping people together and making peace within the community. Wallahu ta'ala alam. In the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the old days, it was given to those who volunteer with with Muslim armies. So Muslim armies will go out to defend the land of Muslims and protect Muslim communities. Most of the members of these armies are paid. They receive a salary from the government, Muslim government. But those who volunteer fi sabilillah, they deserve to receive zakat if they don't have enough money to support themselves. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Nowadays, they said this jihad that was done in the old days, was meant to protect the identity of Muslims and protect Muslim communities and protect Islam, the religion, and spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some ulama, they said, in the West, if Islamic organizations, they need zakat because they are fulfilling the same purpose. What is the same purpose? Preserving the identity of Muslim children in the West and preserving the deen of those living in the West. And Muslim organizations in the West do not receive help from government, then it's okay to give them zakat for their expenses, monthly expenses, or for their operation. Now, this is not something that is agreed upon. There are two opinions about it, and we follow the opinion that says it is permissible to give zakat to this organizations. Wallahu ta'ala alam. The stranger traveler. And this is the opinion of many scholars. It is not my opinion. Opinion of many scholars who are better than us. And they have their own, as I said, their own argument. The stranded traveler, in the old days, if someone travels to another land and he lost, let's say he lost everything, he lost his money. Now there is no way for him to contact his family. No means of communication in the old days. No phone, no cell phones, no bank account, no credit cards. There is no way for him to support himself. So he could be wealthy back home. He could be wealthy. But because he traveled to another land and he lost everything, he deserves zakat and he is ibn al-sabil until he goes back to his land, to his family, and then he will be fine. He will not need zakat anymore. So these are categories, eight categories mentioned in the Quran, in Ayah 60 in Surah At-Tawbah. If you have some questions, go ahead and ask your questions. I'll stay here for 10 minutes, an extra 10 minutes, to answer questions. Tfadl, brother. Yeah, raw material is supposed to be used. The brother is asking about raw material. You are a businessman. It's supposed to be used to make final products, right? These final products will be sold. It will be a merchandise. So using this raw material it will add value to the final product. That's why if it is not used yet, you need to look into their value, the value of this raw material, and include them in your, it's a type of wealth that is used in your business, but it's not something that is, it's not a fixed asset. It will go into the final product, and it will be something for sale. Did you get it? Jazakallah khair. Sisters, do you have a question? Yes, brother.
Can you pay by month?
Na'am?
Can you pay zakat, not at the end of the year, but by month, per month?
Oh, on a monthly basis? You are allowed to pay zakat in advance, yeah?
Yeah, in advance.
Yeah, in advance, yeah. You're not allowed to delay it. You don't calculate your zakat. You say, okay, I have to pay 10,000 as zakat, and I start giving family members back home every month, give them 1,000. You'll be delaying. But if you pay it in advance, it's halal. In advance is okay. And then at the end of the year, you calculate how much you have to pay. You deduct what you paid before, and you will be fine. You don't have to pay it again. Na'am? Must be what?
Poor.
Of course. The person who receives the zakat has to be always poor, or miskin, or needy. Yeah. If the person has received inheritance, the poor person received, or he will receive in the future.
No, he received now and he got the zakat.
Okay, he is not poor anymore.
Yeah. So
If he's not poor anymore, we shouldn't give them zakat. Yeah, if a person, mashallah, received money and he's wealthy now, he don't deserve zakat anymore. We have to be careful. Another question? Fadl. No, you need to pay it. Yeah, you need to make the payment. Calculate how much you missed, and if you wanna benefit from, there is an article that is found on the website of this organization, National Zakat Foundation, so nzfcanada.com, and the article is I think it's a short. Let me check it. Short guide to managing missed zakat. If you can put this this title, you'll find it. Did you find it? Yeah. So yeah, a short guide to managing my missed zakat. So it will tell you how you manage your zakat that you missed in the previous years. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
In regards to the parents who cannot give zakat to the parents, so what is the idea behind it? Because you are religiously responsible for them, right?
Yeah, if they are in need, you don't give them zakat, you give them from your money. You have to spend on them from your own money. Yes, brother.
So when you're trying to manage that missed zakat, what if at the moment you can't afford that?
If you can afford, you need to calculate how much, and it will be one of your liabilities. You pay it in the future. Well, the moment you receive some money, you make the payment. It's in debt, yeah. Between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Yes, brother. Yeah, you can cancel the calculation and then wait until your savings reach the nisab again, and then you record that a date, and then you wait 1 year. Yeah. Any other question? You're fine? Jazakum, yes. What if? If you want to pay on the whole amount, that's okay, that's your freedom. Yeah. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallah wa hamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week, inshallah, in this halaqa, we're going to talk about the title is Understanding the Power of Ramadan. The Power of Ramadan. We try to, maybe go through the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah and talk about some concept, beautiful concepts that are found in those ayat. So we'll try to have a better understanding about the power of Ramadan, inshallah. Next week, the time will be, Isha will be 8 o'clock. Next week will be 8 o'clock. So after Isha, we'll do our halaqah, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.